வெல்கம் பேக் டு யட் அனதர் எபிசோட் ஆஃப் ரீஸ்கேலின்ஸ் பாட்காஸ்ட். அண்ட் நாங்கள் லாஸ்ட்டாக ஒரு போட்ட ஒரு 3 weeks ஆஃப் எபிசோட்ஸ் வந்து நல்ல ஒரு ரெஸ்பான்ஸ் இருந்துச்சு. வி ஹேவ் குட் ரெஸ்பான்ஸ் ஈவன் ஆஃப்டர் நாட் போஸ்டிங் ஃபார் லைக் 5 to 6 months, ஐ கெஸ். அண்ட் எஸ் வி ஆர் பேக் அகேன் வித் பெட்டர் லைட்டிங், பெட்டர் கேமராஸ். ஸோ ஐ திங்க் திஸ் இஸ் த தேர்ட் கைண்ட் ஆஃப் அப்கிரேட் நினைக்கிறேன் இல்லையா. ஸோ ஹவர் யூ ராம், ஹவர் யூ ஃபீலிங்?
Feeling good with slightly with the flu.
Yeah, influenza is hitting everybody like front, right and back.
Pudu numbers la vandiruke H1N1 H1.
There are so many variants that you can't even keep track of. So yeah, and we are working with a lot of hospitals right now, and we do videos for doctors, and every single doctor symptoms, disease and treatment ella pesi mudichirukku, they conclude with certain things. So the number one thing is like lifestyle modification, like physical activity, you know, eat well and stuff like that, and drink enough water, and also avoid smoking and drinking. So this seems to be the case for literally like all of the diseases that we combinedly, you know, talk with doctors about.
Universal solution
for everything. So it's basically in the hands of the people who are basically doing it. And yeah, Ram, today we have a lot of good discussion to be made, I guess. So Pava, I think this topic has been since our college days, I guess. So we will talk about how power plays, not in the global scenario, because like a lot of politics will be involved in that. We'll talk about in the sense of how it works in the organization. And I wanted to give just a brief about how power works and how it can be used in the benefit of the person, and also in manipulative ways where they take bad decisions. So what do you think the power plays in the broader spectrum of an organization?
So, you know, first we will define power. Power is basically the way how many people you can influence, right? Is power. The number of people.
The quantum of people.
So if a person, you know, if there's a crowd of 100 people and there are 5 people, at power, you know. So it is, the power is based on how many people they are able to influence with just words or through actions. So that is what power
their
is
presence about. Itself,
yeah. Their presence itself. So that is what power is all about. And like always, you know, we start from the home. We can easily explain power from the home, from a micro family. The power in a normal family is the head of the family, which is going to be the breadwinner of the family, the becomes the powerhouse of the family. And so their decision is what is going to influence the entire family. It is how they are, what they do, and what they want the family to do is going to decide the entirety of how the family is going to run. The happiness, the sadness, the growth, the development of every individual in the family, the wife, the child, whoever
the
are the grandparents, who are all part of that, is going to be decided by it. So power can be of, you know, multiple forms. You know, in some families we see, you know, many people say the wife is more powerful than the man is more powerful. So this happens because of, you know, various methods of seduction and politics. So the way how to control power or manipulate power would be to use politics. So power always comes with politics. And politics happens when there is more than 2 people involved. So 2 or more people involved, there is politics, because human beings are people with ego. We call ourselves the
Social being,
people with sixth sense, but whatever it is, but
pleasure seeking, pain.
All of this has come to us because of our ego. So to, you know, keep our ego fulfilled or happy, we seek power. And we seek power through politics, different forms of politics.
Sorry to interrupt you. Is power basically a way where we can say like, the number of people dependent on the person, or is it just influence? For example, in certain families, like you mentioned the example as a family, the breadwinner. Is it solely because that person is the breadwinner, or a lot of people are dependent on him? or like some families there will be like the uncle will be the
power
locus of control, basically because he will be helping a lot of other families. So even when the power is with the husband here, but the husband will also have a power or, you know, submissiveness towards the uncle where they are supporting him. So does dependency also play a factor?
Dependency is a form of power. Dependency is a form of seduction.
Right.
So, you know, it is a choice that the uncle can make whether or not I want to influence these people. So,
right.
The power
has... It's in his decision also.
Decision also. So, right. So, you know, whom you want to influence is part of your agenda.
And you have that flexibility of
whom you do not want to. That is up to you. One thing I have noticed is most of us seek power. Mm-hmm. Like, knowingly or unknowingly, we seek power. We want to control.
In some form or the other.
And we also want to be controlled. We have that mix and match. People who have, you know, found the balance between wanting control and wanting to be controlled, take the middle path, and you can see these people, just when you look at them, they are so confident. They know what they are doing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people who do not know that, you know, I want it. So that is when you see irrational behaviors. We see anger, we see fear, we see, you know, tears, we see seduction, we see all these different kinds of emotions causing them, you know, to make bad decisions and look ugly in the crowd, and they eventually lose the power or what they want, and that again is going to deplete their the thing that they were seeking.
Right.
And so everybody should understand this, that we all, as human beings, we are all seeking for power.
Right.
So
that's like the baseline for.
Yes, we are all seeking for power. You know, just saying, you know, he is like that, our Abdirkar, Avang is the Pandran, basically. We are telling that because we are seeking that point. Mm-hmm. We want to reach that point. We say, I could have done it better. Mm-hmm. It is because we are seeking to go to that point.
Right.
So, all of this is what...
It becomes an aspirational level of status for somebody that to
is
be
that,
in power.
Yes, correct. No, wanting to be that, you know, aspiring, right. You know, is that wanting for power.
Right. So this is basically what we have covered in the terms of a family setup. So coming into a business or an organizational setup, it works in different ways because like there'll be multiple people who have different levels and different intensities of power that they usually hold. So we work with a lot of companies where like the decision is not solely based on just one person decisions basically, but will have a multitude of people giving their opinions and you know, going back and forth on that. And sometimes it affects people's egos, it affects people's, you know, touch towards what they are standing for in the company, because they'll have a different vision, these people have a different vision. So how come a company that is like big in terms of, let's say, 10,000 people, employees, or more than 10,000, is it very viable for them to have one single power of control, or is it like advisable that multiple people hold equal and diversified forms of power so that the company can channelize their energies into single thing?
So, you know, when you said this quantum of 10,000 people,
right?
You know, to influence 10,000 people, you need to have a lot of power, basically. Right. So organizations have that power, and they have built it not just like this, just like, you know, how we have revenue houses, revenue generators. Mm-hmm. You have powerhouses across various levels of the organization. The one, the, you know, when we say this 1%, this 1% of being have, you know, dissipated a system, entire system, an entire pyramid that they can easily control with another 6 or 7 people. This 7 people, again another 7 people. This 7, again another 7 people. So this way, this triangle can be formed to have 10,000 people in an organization or a country or, you know, whatever it is, to India take.
And
India.
There's always going to be like tapering to the end where there's like as many people as
that is the most sustainable method. you can, people have tried a lot of things, you know, people have tried the circular model, the square model, whatever model, but the most sustainable model to have this effect is, you know, when you have a triangle. Right. Bees and ants, they follow this pyramidal structure of power, and they have survived. You know, you have just one queen bee controlling the entire population, and the number of bees and ants that are existing is much more than human beings in terms of numbers. I'm sure even in terms of biomass, I think they would be much more than us when we are able to calculate it. And the time that they have survived on planet Earth from evolution will be more than us. And, you know, even after us, if we are going to, you know, we will be extinct in some time, but they will be surviving more because they clearly know it is the structure that is going to support them in their growth.
Right. So basically, like, I also have this question, where does the chairman or the CEO hold the top position, or the board of directors will have a lot of push, because like the numbers is always going to be like 5 to 7 board members, and then the CEO, or like because like we plan, like it's going to be a triangle, but if the board is going to be on top of that again forms a different triangle on the top.
So this board, 5 to 7 people, they would have their own power
challenges,
war of power within them, to who has to make the decision. The board is not one body, like right. how we say, but board is, again, we do not know how many people, and that one person who is going to make the decision, if the CEO is, you know, understands this, then they know whom to influence, right. whom to work
but
with.
But the board is considered as one single unit, right?
The company is also considered as one single unit, but there will be power struggle within the board, which only the people who are working closely with the board will know.
Right.
What happens inside, the politics that is happening between the 10 to 12 people within the board. Only the person who is closely working, who has the God view of them, you know, he knows he cannot alter anything out of it, but you know, he can just observe, and only he understands what is the power struggle that is happening within the board.
Right.
And that person is the CEO. So he is the person who is let in closely within the board, so that next day he understands something and he comes to a conclusion, and then the decision is made accordingly,
right.
from the entire brain of all the board.
Right. And when you take a small company in practice, it's like very easier for them to, you know, see all the people, you meet all the people, and they know what's happening, you know, like for a company like us, we know every single employee, you know, by heart, and our team, like we spend time with them, we talk to them. And as the team grows bigger, it is very hard for you know, CEO or somebody in the top management to actually meet a person who is in the floor level. So, and does it get easier to have control over politics that happen inside? Because we see a lot of small companies having this politics, you know, this person will not let another person come inside, or, you know, it will inhibit the work that they are trying to accomplish also. So I understand that as humans, we tend to do this because like we want to have that position, and then we are competing for the same. Is there a way where any system across the world has tried to, you know, see like, okay, this is the most least percentage of politics that an effective company can have, or is this is the best way to, you know, suppress politics in such a way that there is a subjective view on, or objective view on everybody who is inside the company?
So when these companies become very big, okay, they become
big, as in sense, like 10,000 people, like, is that counting up?
Big, okay, let's talk about companies like Microsoft, right, like Google.
More than 1 lakh, yeah.
They are big, you know, they are the biggest in terms of money, in terms of people. They become unmovable. They become unmovable. It is because they have inhibited all these politics. They do not listen to the politics that happens in the sub-level. All these companies started small. All these companies started, you know, the story says they started from a college room or a garage. So all these founders, they understood power and politics. They established certain systems within the companies so that this power and politics does not affect the entire system.
Right.
So they build a system. It will keep happening. This system, they build a system and then they replicate multiple smalls, small over small over small over small, and make it look big.
Right.
So
even if politics are getting intense, it is not going to affect the other systems.
Nothing. Politics is always intense. You know, we have talked about grapevine communication. So grapevine communication is something that we can never control. We do not have the ability to communicate. It is human nature to communicate. We are social beings. So we will talk again and again and again and again to more and more people. So, and we don't care about what we talk and what we say most of the time, because we don't understand ourselves. We don't understand that we are seeking for power or we are seeking to be controlled. So we do not know that. So until and unless we know that, we are going to get into grapevine communications. And you cannot stop. So how these, you know, new companies come and take over this unmovable objects is, there are a lot of unstoppable forces also coming in. So, you know, small companies like us, you know, we have to be unstoppable, so that, you know, we have an objective to become that big. So to move something that big, you have to be unstoppable.
Right.
So an immovable object and an unstoppable force banging makes it an infinite loop.
And that gives to the Big Bang and the universe creation.
That is how, you know, when we are going to look at it in terms of, you know, business, that is the system, whole capitalistic system that we have built. You know, some one person, you know, maybe the UK was the first capitalistic country, and, you know, they have built something big. And a lot of unstoppable forces, you know, people, you know, countries like India, countries in Africa, all these colonized countries, they unstoppably hit them. And now all of these people are becoming big. And now we have a system. Now big companies have evolved, big corporates have evolved, big MNCs have evolved. Now we will all be, all these small companies, you know, it is not that we do not want to be, you know, small companies that do not want to be controlled. There are companies like that, you know, but there are these big corporates that want to control. I mean, we know that all these companies, they purchase all these small companies, but there are some small companies that do not want to control, and they slowly become big. They form different systems, and these two hit, and then you have a new world model. From countries, you have corporates. I think we are entering into the world of corporates very soon. From countries.
And I think it's already happening, and it's like happening.
I think that is the change that we are seeing, and some of the reasons for all these wars again, you know. Mm. All these big countries, they have become so big, unmovable countries, and they do not want to move. But, you know, it is inevitable. Change is inevitable to all these boomers or whomever who are sitting there holding these positions. Change is inevitable. You have to accept it. And,
so yeah, and since we talk about all these power and politics in, you know, brands and companies and all together, is there anything that is very positive that this politics happen, and people seem to understand, like, okay, this is for the good of the company? Is there anything that is good politics?
Okay. So politics is good.
Right.
There is nothing called bad politics, basically. Right. Politics is the reason why we have so much of mass are existing on planet Earth. Or else we would just be like sheep and goats. No, there is no politics within sheep and goats. You know, it's just a goat.
Existence.
So politics is the reason why we have grown so big. We have built a huge civilization. We are into technology. We are making man's life more and more easier is because of politics. But we have made the word politics look very bad, you know, like it is
because of
the
influence with the
political parties that are existing. The human psyche has started to look at the word politics and, you know, directly relate it only with the world of politics, I think, which is coming to an end very soon. And we are seeing it coming to an end, I think, very, very, very soon. I think within our lifetime, or, you know, next lifetime, it will end. They have built a model that is now very unsustainable, and a more powerful model has emerged, and it will take over them. So the reason why we look at politics as bad is because of these people,
the media,
and we are terming them as politicians.
Right.
We have termed them as politicians. We have not termed them as, you know, social workers. We are basically, that is their job. You know, you have to be a social worker to be a, you know, if you have to maintain a country, maintain a state, maintain something, you have to work for the society. But social workers, we call, you know, people who are those jobs, menial jobs in our society, right. We call them social workers. We've just flipped it up. It will change. It will change. People will understand, because I did not know this long time back. Right. And I am sure many of us will start knowing it and the coins will flip.
Right. Yeah. So I think we've had a wonderful, squash of a game between how power and politics plays inside. And I think there is a lot more depth to it. And I think we can have a different episode where we can dive specifically into, I think we can do a case study of what happened with certain companies so that people can have a context on what, because like the topics that we talk is like very broader and very superficial. I think going depth into that will give us so much insight on how we can, you know, perceive that things. And a lot of people who have their own business right now can actually use
understand
it in Padathe favor. And yeah,
one thing, you know, I think all these good businessmen, they have understood it.
Right.
Good politicians have understood it, basically.
And they don't come to the mainstream because
they don't tell it out, because that is their power.
Right.
You don't share it out. That is a secret that they have all been holding for so long from us.
Right. So yeah, so I think we'll end this episode on this very happy note, because like if you're a good businessman and if you're a very good person who is into politics, I hope you do start doing the same and keep doing the same in the good work that you do. And politics, as we talked in the episode, is good, and do not be misinformed by the politics that is probably talked about in the media. So yeah, I think we had a nice set of conversation about the same, and we'll talk about the same in depth and in much clarity in the future episodes to come. So thank you so much for watching. This is Guhan and this is Ram Kesavan signing off. Take care. Bye.
Reach Skyline. Embrace Digital.